Okay. You're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community supported radio. And this evening I've got Dr. Lynn Horowitz with me as a special guest, and I'm going to let Dr. Horowitz describe his background, because it is quite the background. And Dr. Horowitz, are you there?
Hi there, Melody. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and let my audience know a little bit about your background.
Well, gee whiz, I'm a nice guy. I've got three children, Harvard degree. I guess I can give you some specifics about my professional orientation. I help scientists. I do a lot of behavioral science research as well as emerging diseases. I'm a public health authority, internationally recognized as such, and have made significant contributions in the field of vaccination risk awareness, and have been alerting people with regard to everything from the origin, the man-made origin of HIV/AIDS, and those profiting off of humanity's suffering, to the current flu outbreaks and the politics and profiteering that's going on with that current fright. Beyond that, I'm working on the most important project of my life, and I think pretty much the most important project that the planet can actually grasp at this moment, is Concert for the Living Water, Live H2O, an international concert that I'm producing. I'm the executive producer for Live H2O, and it's going to be right now about 30 or 40 venues internationally where people worldwide are going to embrace higher level awareness about how magnificent water is and how it serves us, and every aspect of water, including physical and metaphysical factors, and that what we need to learn from this that can benefit our planet to produce lasting peace, world health, as well as prosperity in all ways, or great abundance in everything that's required for sustainability. So that's a little brief background. My degrees are from Harvard School of Public Health, Tufts University School of Dental Medicine. I have two other doctorates beyond that. I have a naturopathic degree, as well as I am considered a missionary, a doctor of missionary medicine. So dealing with natural ways that people can heal themselves and not have to be popping magic pills to cure every ill.
Well, so in other words, you're kind of cross-trained between the AMA system and the naturopathic, correct?
Yeah, you might say that I am very eclectic. A lot of multidisciplinary research and writing. You know, I produce a lot of books. I'm author of 16 books. I have three national bestsellers, and I have done a couple documentary films. And most recently, when the swine flu broke, the Mexican flu, they called it initially, I was compelled by the lies to do a documentary, a 10-minute YouTube submission that still, even if you type in Mexican flu, it comes up near the top. We basically captured the top spot in the world in Google for 3 days, the main 3 days, and it exposes those behind this fright and this emerging virus.
So that might be one of the reasons why they may be kind of after the internet, to kind of close down our ability to get this kind of information out there on a fast basis, I would imagine.
That's right. Yeah, there's concern that this level of communications that we the people have might be contraindicated when you're considering propaganda and you're considering psychological operations to affect global genocide.
I first became acquainted with you on your emerging viruses, AIDS and Ebola, and I mean, and that was done back in 99, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Emerging viruses actually initially came out in 96. 98 we did an expanded edition, and I was heavily promoting it for that year and doing a lot of radio interview. So that's probably when you heard me.
Uh-huh. Well, where would you like to go with this? You know, I mean, I do know that the one thing that you're talking about on the water, one of the things that are you familiar with the Senate Bill 787 that's in committee right now?
I probably am, not by the number, but probably by the initiative itself. Is this the one that they're attempting to make it illegal for anybody to collect water from rain and sell it, or even potentially use it?
Well, this one, I believe, is the Clean Water Restoration Act, which where they're taking the wording from navigable waters to all waters of the United States. And even though I get the feeling that some people think that that is a good thing, that it gives more teeth in the EPA, and yet at the same time, the other side of the coin seems to be that when you take out navigable, that means that, you know, puddles and anything else comes under the EPA's control, which means that if those who have private property private water rights, which would be tied to property, of course, in their usage, now is really more of a federal thing instead of a state control. But then again, I get information that tells me that doesn't take it out of state's control. I don't know. I would think there's going to be some fighting over it if this goes through. And it looks like it may, so.
Yeah, well, any time that I've really looked into various legislation, there's always fine print, there's always segments of the bills and the statutory laws that infringe upon what the, not just what the creator wants for the people, but what the people want for themselves. You know, I'm looking at this whole concept of regulating, you know, the concept of legislation, by the way, is really ludicrous if you think about the whole way the system is set up. You have corporations that are doing the pollution and literally paying off the legislators and having such special interest influence over the legislators that what they ultimately sign into law gives the power not to the people but to the corporations. And that is really the principal problem in fascist America today, and really the globalization or neo-colonialization, this thing called globalism, which is really neo-colonialism that's instituted by the British and German banking cartel that literally has put governments under their control. And the same thing with the Fed, the economic collapse, all of this that we're witnessing right now, that my colleagues and I have been saying it's coming, and we kind of like see it. It's kind of like obvious. It's as, you know, fact is it's as obvious as the nose on your face when you really look at all of the evidence. And most people don't really take the time to look at the evidence, and they don't take the time to study history. And so history gets a chance to repeat itself. And so people who study history get a chance to be prophets and prophesy and accurately predict what's going to happen. And so this is the part and parcel of the picture where the directors of legislation that you would think is beneficial to people because it's presented as such, just like Centers for Disease Control is presented as an organization that's beneficial when it's actually Centers for Disease Creation. They're not engaged in remedial action. They're really engaged in genocidal operation. They make money. They promote frights. They don't eliminate infectious diseases. They control them, and they control the propaganda that surrounds them, and then they control the public's mind, and then they get to do everything from infringe upon freedom's right to resist vaccinations for the mass population, so that they inject, infect, and intoxicate. And of course, what that does is makes people go to the doctor, makes people go to hospitals, and runs up the tab for pharmaceutical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartels' profits. So this is really what's going on. Anytime I look at new legislation, and that particular legislation that seems like it's going to be beneficial to the public or the public interest is really not. So basically that's my perspective, and I'm getting kind of old. I'm like, you know, heading into my 60s now, so I think I can be considered a wise elder in that way, and I just have concerns that our children and our children's children will not be able to have the freedom that we have known. And even the freedoms that we have known have really not been optimal as somebody who's really capable of being free completely. Optimally free means that you're really in communion with other human beings maximally, and you're in communion at the same time with the Creator. You know, the systems of limitation that we have today make it very challenging. You know, we've gone through the me generation, and we've had, you know, Jew versus Gentile, Christian versus Muslim, Muslim versus Jew. You know, it's just like constantly Russian versus American, Chinese versus American. You know, so it's constantly dividing the people, constantly manipulating the populations so that we operate on fear and uncertainty versus faith and love.
One of the things I'm finding is, and it's just exactly what you're saying, is that, you know, we're being played off each other, and we're not focusing on the system as opposed to all the different avenues that they create division, and we get this system indoctrinated in us from, you know, day one. I mean, it's in our school systems and in every aspect of our lives, in our jobs, in all forms, and it's just working up the ladder in their system. I find even when I try to talk to some of the most astute intellectuals, if they're really plugged into the system, I find they're sometimes some of the hardest ones to open their minds to new information, because if it doesn't come in the way that they think that it needs to come in, it's really hard to get them to look at it. Have you found that at all?
Oh, just actually right now I'm doing a little bit of Bible study to respond to those who call themselves Christians who are not, that have a challenge with regard to recognizing water and this concert for the living water that we're evolving now as being something that's a total blessing versus what they perceive is a curse. You know, I've got the fundamentalist Christian community now boycotting concert for the living water because of the concept that water is part of a triune God. It's part of the triune God. And, you know, the Bible is full of these revelations. I mean, what is baptism all about, you know? What is Jesus' statement that I am the living water all about? And what is it that Genesis is all about when in the beginning there was the Creator and the water, even before the Holy Spirit is mentioned, which divided the water from the water then, and then created the firmament into which the Word was spoken? So all of these, if you simply do a sane, reasonable, rational Bible study, you find that, gee whiz, water is the most astonishing of all of the things that we connect with in physical reality. And, you know, you've got the doctrines and dogmas, and it's kind of like what Jesus, whose real name was Yeshua, said, beware. He said, of the traditions of men that make the word, the truth, to no avail. And so this is what I'm dealing with constantly. I think that speaks to the gross violation of our own innate divinity. The connection, the fact that we're all holy children of the Creator, that we contain 80% water in our Holy Spirit-filled temples, our bodies, and that the fact that we have no consensus about this most basic, fundamental, sustaining liquid crystal superconductor creative juice that there's fighting and feuding and gee whiz, it's kind of like get it together, folks, you know?
But yeah, you call it a fluid, do you not?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and my understanding when you start looking at some of the, I guess you want to call it physics of the universe or whatever, is everything is kind of works in a fluid fashion, can it not?
Well, that's exactly right. So when you look at the science, and NASA science proved only in the last decade that water is found throughout the universe. Well, gee whiz, what does that tell you? It tells you that creationism, not evolution of the species, is what this whole thing is about. And that's what the most advanced research in genetics and electrogenetics and water science actually reinforces and evidences profoundly, that we come out of water and that we are in water. Even when I'm now talking to you, I'm obviously not underwater, blah, 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 you know, but I am absolutely engaged in a hydrated atmosphere. And just like there's three levels or states of water that we're aware of, solid, liquid, and gas, you know, this atmosphere is kind of like a gaseous state of water. You can't really see it, but it's right here. We're in it. And we're, in fact, it's in our bodies. It is what communes us, connects us to the universe. And if that's the case, why would it not connect us to God?
Now, does this tie in any with Dr. Emoto's work?
Yes, it does. Dr. Emoto and I are good friends and colleagues. We work together, and in fact, this Concert for the Living Water is our combined initiative.
And what do you want to achieve with this?
Number one is a mass awakening of human hearts to the glory and power of the Creator working within us and around us. And basically the goals is lasting peace on earth, world health, and universal prosperity, abundance, and all the resources necessary for sustainability. And so that this is the goals of Live H2O Concert for the Living Water. It's coming June 19th to the 21st over not only the internet at livehh2o.org. www.livh2o.org, but also worldwide. There's now about 40 venues that are advancing. Some of them are major. There's going to be broadcasting live from, right now it looks like about 13 or 14 different sites, and I think we may be able to get up to as many as 20 different locations are going to be live broadcasting in high definition video over the internet. For the first time in history, this is going to be available to us using the technology, and that will actually be engaging the microphones on your laptop or your PC, where you'll be able, like I'm doing right now, to connect with the world and sing along with the world and chant and pray along with the world for this magnificent goal of lasting peace on earth and healing what ails us.
Who's supporting this?
Well, Healthy World Distributing, healthyworldstore.com is a major funding source. They're wonderful people that I basically helped to move ahead over the last two decades. I endorse a lot of different healthcare products, and of course my books and tapes and DVDs and CDs are all sold via Healthy World Store. So it's basically been funded by healthyworldstore.com and the amazing OxySilver. OxySilver is a silver hydrosol that has the capacity to eliminate infectious diseases from planet Earth. And really, it's all about water. It's actually a mineral water with nanoparticle-sized silver in it that's bonded to the water itself, the oxygen, and creates a threefold blessing. Number one, it eliminates the pathogens, the germs that cause disease by destabilizing the surface membranes, and how it works is not so much chemical as electrical. It actually electrocutes the viruses and the bacteria that are disease causers. And that beyond that, it oxygenates. Oxygenation therapies are profoundly healing. And so that does that, and it also carries with it, just like a good homeopathic, constitutional remedy. That means that when you go to a homeopathic doctor, they form a general therapeutic just for you. And, you know, we know now that love is the universal healer. And we know now that when you're in love, you're kind of like in joy as well as this bliss. Well, that is a frequency. That's an energy, a vibration. And we know now that that vibration has everything to do with 528 hertz. 528 is virtually the love frequency of the universe. And so what we've done with OxySilver, we've advanced this magnificent silver hydrosol to include the vibration of love, to literally create, when you take it, a resonant energy moving through your body that uplifts you and restores you with the Creator's heart-loving energy. And that it's amazing what happens, but we also, it's the first time in history that we've developed a, I would hesitate to call it a nutraceutical, but that's what some people call it, or a nutritional supplement. It's not really that either. It's just basically mineral water that should be used with prayer. In fact, prayer is amplified, and the results of prayer, when you understand what prayer is a heartfelt, loving intention to produce a positive outcome, a beneficial blessing. That's what prayer is, and if you understand how prayer is administered, it's administered from the heart in a resonance energy or vibration, which is, again, deals with electromagnetics, like spiritual essence is energy. And what is energy but frequency? And what's that? Simply mathematics. And so it's like cycles per second. So 528 hertz frequency, or 528 cycles per second, is the essence of the center of your heart in love. And if you then put that into water with the superconductor called silver in it, so you've got a double superconductor. You've got, number one, the water, which is a liquid crystal superconductor. And then on top of that, you add silver in nanoparticle size, which is one of the foremost energy superconductors. In fact, electrical currents flow best through copper and silver. And then third is gold.
Okay.
So those elements are very valuable. That's why you use copper wire for lighting and electrical systems. But you use, because silver is so expensive, you don't use it for your electrical system, but you can use it to enhance energy flow through your body, which is what OxySilver does. So you've really got the most amazing product, and because sales have been very brisk, because people who are awake recognize it as the foremost product for protecting against the flus, you know, everything from the swine flu, avian flu. I mean, we don't at all worry about that kind of stuff because we've got OxySilver. And so you've got a tremendous opportunity. It's a cooperative. People have joined internationally to help distribute this OxySilver to help save lives and to give people a full blessing. And then what I love about it most, also besides all that wonderful physical stuff, is the whole concept that we can awaken the public as to what water is really about and what they are really about as spirit-filled beings. Because if people realize that a simple mineral water can eliminate infectious diseases from planet Earth, then the next question is, how does it do that? And the answer is, it works with these blessed water and energy and frequency. And that's how it works. So Live H2O Concert for the Living Water has received a substantial grant from OxySilver. And so that's how Live H2O is evolving now.
So OxySilver is, okay, that is strictly through your group's origins on funds then? Is that what you're saying, or...
Yeah, well, I was asked initially, I don't, manufacture OxySilver. I work with the manufacturers that came to me about a year and a half ago and said, here, we have this product. And I was actually astonished because, you know, I'm pretty bright and I do a lot of research, and incredibly, I do get about a dozen pitches a week from various people worldwide that send me products and tell me how important their products are. And, you know, I get that constantly, and I did not know anything about silver hydrosols. I was completely ignorant, and I started to do the research, and I said, holy smoke, we have a complete capability of eliminating infectious diseases from planet Earth with mineral water. And so I thought, gee whiz, let me see what I can do with this. And I thought about a name for it, and I thought about how to market it, and that's what we did. We came up with a collaborative. It's a cooperative company that right now you can join as an affiliate and you make 40% on five different levels. Actually, right now it's three, and in a week or two it's going to go up to five different levels. It's not quite a multi-level marketing company. It's more of like a referral. It's called an affiliate program. Doctors and people who want to stock it in their stores can purchase it at 40% discount right now, and people who want to sell it, we actually give them a website that's valued at $6,600 with no hidden costs. There's nothing for you to buy unless you want to. There's nothing for you to pay for upkeep for your websites, which is far different from multi-level companies. They all usually charge something and they all require you to buy something. So we don't do that because we understand that we're in a business of saving lives and helping people. So we've created the most unique referral service and online dispensary. So we give you virtually, it's a turnkey operation. It takes you 2 minutes to fill out your name, address, telephone number, email address, and create a password. In 2 minutes, we give you a $6,600 valued website, oxysilver.com. We clone that. That's yours then. And then you just refer people to your website, and then you get a check at the end of every month for up to 40% on three levels, and then, as I mentioned, going to five levels. So that's how it's been working, and it's working beautifully.
As far as getting that 528 frequency, how can one attain that? I mean, is that a normal frequency to create?
You know, it used to be part of the Gregorian chants in the old days. It was the original musical scale. Back in 1998, I published with Dr. Joseph Paleo a book called Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse. And we revealed the original musical scale that has been censored or buried. And the sequestering of it has left humanity listening to music that is degenerative and absolutely the opposite of love. It engages, the music that we're listening to today engages what's called 440 hertz frequency, which is A, the A note. All instruments in standard tuning have been tuned to that. And the people that created that back in the early 1900s, they started, was the Rockefeller Foundation funding of the American Federation of Musicians to institute that against all of the world's musicians. They were crying out saying, don't do this, don't do this. And they did it, and it wasn't easy for them. They had to actually go and hire Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for the Third Reich, to actually complete the project of getting the world to tune their instruments to A440. Now, it's very easy to go back and retune. On the internet, I've actually posted the tuning fork of 528, which is the third note of the original musical scale. It used to be ut, re, mi. Today it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. Well, it used to be ut, re, mi, and that third note is the 528. It's mi, M-I, stands for mira gestorum in Latin. In English, it's called miracles. It's the miracle note. Have you seen the play Have you seen the play that is called Phantom of the Opera?
Yes.
Okay. You remember that chandelier that falls into the audience?
Uh-huh.
And you remember that the theme of this and the most beautiful song in that was from the demon who had control over Christine, and Christine represents Christianity, and the demon is Satan, and Satan sings Music of the Night. Remember that?
Okay.
Well, that's what this is. A440 is the music of the night, and 528 is the love. It is the music of the light that transmutes the music of the night. And that chandelier falling comes from the story that's on the internet of Haydn's 96th symphony that I wrote about in the book Healing Codes. Haydn's 96th symphony is called The Miracle. And if you add 9 plus 6, that's 15. And then 1 plus 5 is 6. That's MI6 or Miracle 6. 5 plus 2 is 7. Plus 8 is 15, so 528 also comes out to a 6. Haydn's 96th symphony was called The Miracle. They say, and this is propaganda, they say because a chandelier fell in the middle of the audience during the Miracle concert, and that's how they called it The Miracle, because nobody was hurt. So there's a lot of incredible knowledge and history and even hydrosonic science that deals with the 528 hertz frequency of love that, you know, it's fascinating to see being played out in the world today.
I don't know why, and I'm sure it may not have any connection, but when you said hurt and nobody got hurt in that piece of music, I just was wondering if there could have been a connection, but... When it comes to the 96th Symphony Miracle, and I'm wondering if I'm going to have to stop the recording here a second and reconnect or something. I'm getting a feedback.
Yeah, you know, I apologize. It's that we've got going by is a dump truck of all things happening right during our interview. Oh. So I apologize. It's on my end.
Oh, okay. All right. So I did read your the book you're talking about, the code book, and then which I really had, it wasn't easy for me to follow the line of thought on when you were doing all the mathematics with it. But the basis of it seemed to make a lot of sense to me. And then to see, you know, the work of Dr. Emoto and the whole frequency does seem to be where I think healing is going to go, and to me, hitting us with the what I want to say, those that are into the culture of death, which is what I feel the vaccines are, and trying to depopulate the planet comes out of that. I hope I'm making some sense here on what I'm saying, but I also find that those that are working in this avenue, and I run into this all the time because I started out in working with a lot of friends that were into some of this, I guess you could call it New Agey doctrines and that sort, but I've also had a very much a Christian background and that sort. So I find that those people on both sides of the fence turn me off when I start trying to talk about what's going on in the world and with the vaccines and those that are trying to eliminate the planet of and depopulate the planet. So how do you deal with that? And I hope I had some flow in that. I don't know.
I deal with it the same way that Jesus dealt with the moneylenders on the church, on the temple gates. You know, I basically have righteous indignation. I don't have much time for those people. I don't respect those people because what they've done is they use their egoic, arrogant minds to block the power and glory of God working in them for humanity's sake. You know, it is a false separation, and that's really why Jesus whipped the money lenders, because they were instituting usury. They were charging people interest on their money. Now look at what's happened in the world today economically. And Jesus' policy was that you don't do that, because you feed people with faith. You take a loaf of bread that can feed 5,000 with a little faith. As he said, as little faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And so that's the problem, is that those people who think they know and stubbornly and arrogantly judge. And again, Jesus said, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Well, why would that be? Well, because the instantaneous judging, which is a function of the egoic mind, not the heart mind, but the ego mind. As soon as you judge another human being as right or wrong, and you think yourself better than, or your position more tenable than somebody else's position, then you actually pull yourself out of the kingdom of heaven. You literally are instantaneously judged. So judge ye not, lest ye be judged, means that as soon as you engage that absolutely dissonant, divisive level of thinking, it causes in your own body dissonance. The resonance of dissonance is sickening. It's degenerative. It's not uplifting, sustaining, and everlasting.
Right.
It is very, very destructive, and that the addition, it's not only personally destructive, it's socially destructive and disruptive. It takes us from unified beings, people in love with each other and capable of producing miracles together, into dog-eat-dog realm by which we have been reared because of the influence of those that wish to continue to enslave us.
Yeah,
so it's actually pretty simple when you really start to think about it.
Yeah, but when you find that doing what you're doing with the bringing out the information about what's going on with the viruses and that sort of thing, I'm often confronted with people saying that come from the realm of, well, if that you have that dissonance coming at me, I can't listen to it, I can't look at it, because of its destructive nature. And yet there's something that tells me you have to almost know what the nature is of those that are out there living in your world are doing to degrade us in all forms. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and as a behavioral scientist, I really look at that, because that's the principal pathology. You know, I've always, from the time I was 8 years old, I've been looking for ways to heal humanity of what ails it. You know, and behavioral science is not a soft science, as we all thought, compared to mathematics or physics. It's extremely hard when it's like, stimulus response. You know, you put this behavioral engineering anchor in, and that's why they call them the anchor men on the evening news. They anchor you to certain beliefs that then dictate how you're going to behave in any certain situation. Whether you're triggered to buy a certain product, like a Ford or a Chevy, to what church you're going to go to and synagogue you're going to believe in. And so this is anchoring, and it's sad, because the concept of an anchor holds you still in the water. And yet, if you were to flow freely with that ocean of divine inspiration and divine communion, and that divine human communion that's possible, that can be reflected in each other and working together to resolve the challenges that we face, from poverty and pestilence to dehydration and starvation, all of these issues we can overcome right here, right now. That's what Concert for the Living Water really heralds, is, you know, even the pollution can stop immediately. All we need to use is water, because we now know, and we're going to be showing numerous documentary films during the Live H2O weekend, June 19th to the 21st. It's already up already. You can go on the television, LiveH2O.tv, and already start to watch. There's 9 hours of programming there, and there's a lot of companies that have produced hydrogen fuel from water. And hydrogen fuel is totally clean. And if you think that you need to burn petrochemicals in order to drive vehicles, well, just you've got a wake-up happening, because we're already showing from Japan a car driving completely on water. And how is that possible? Well, you got to think about, what is water? It's hydrogen and it's oxygen, H2O. And what is the sun? All hydrogen. So if you don't think that hydrogen is a powerful fuel, then think again. And it's easy. It's really simple to get the hydrogen to come off as a gas out of water. All you do is you put in a couple of electrodes and you put a cover over it and you suck the gas off the water as it's coming off the water into the air. And then you put it into a tank and you got it. That's it. I mean, we have been enslaved by the petrochemical pharmaceutical industrialists to the max. Whatever possible way that they can get away with enslaving us and profiting off of humanity's suffering and fear of scarcity, such as the oil shortages, now water shortages, they're talking about water wars. There are all the ways. Meanwhile, think about it, how stupid this is. You got, the universe is full of water. They've got machines today that can extract water from air. What the hell are we engaging discussions about water wars for? It's simply a retarded, mentally idiotic affirmation. It's actually a negative, reflection on the true reality, and that it makes us then susceptible to going to war to fight who's going to be getting their next drink of water. I mean, it's such an insane world that we live in, and we've got to come to terms with it, because at this point, it's a choice. Everybody's got to make that choice now. The choice is, you're either going to die or you're going to get it together. And in terms of the threats, look at this avian flu. They're telling us right now, and I really believe that they're accurate, not for the reasons that they're saying, but for the reasons I'm watching. This whole unfoldment of the flu that's going to kill half of the world's population. They've apparently seeded that. That what they're talking about is the current flu that I absolutely am certain was man-made, and there's some recent reports that are just now coming out. There's other doctors worldwide that are making the same claims that I did initially. But the concept that it's going to continue to spread over the next 3 or 4 months and then mutate into something more ferocious, that is going to be the big one, the big influenza like the Spanish flu that they were talking about, is absolutely a high likelihood, high probability. And again, that's only reflective of where we are in history. We've come to the end times. This is what the prophets have been saying, all the prophets that are on the planet today, native ones, Christian ones, every prophet is basically saying we've engaged the end times. The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars and earth changes and weather changes and great plagues striking. That's now. And so you've got the end times scenario where the great plagues are going to wipe out half of the world's population. For those who are so stupid and so ignorant and so blind to the greatest truth that could set humanity free, of which we're talking about the essence of water, which means we're talking about the essence of God, We're talking about love, which is the essence of God. We're talking about how we're sustained by the essence of God. We're talking about how to play the music of God. We're talking about everything to solve all the problems. The universal solvent is water. Salve pollute in Latin. Solve the pollution in English. It's do, re, mi, fa, so. That's what so note means in the original musical scale. So you've got miracle solution. Do, re, mi, 528 hertz frequency, fa, so. That's 741 is the so note. So you've got the miracle solution to the universal problems right here in this discussion. And again, humanity has got to wake up or be asleep for eternity. And I tell you from reading the Bible and having full faith and trust and knowing the power of the Creator, I know who wins. So I'm just basically a simple, humble servant that's heralding the greatest truths that can literally uplift us and sustain us.
So, in a sense, I go back and forth on totally a lot, because I think a lot of it has to do with just your perspective on what the end times means. I mean, the end doesn't have to be a negative thing if you're, you know, and that's what I hear from what you're saying, correct?
Oh, no, but thank you for clarifying it. Actually, the end times are the beginning times. You know, revolution. This is a revolution, right? Well, what's the word itself? Revolving. Goes around in a circle, like a disc, a CD, or a old record. We're going back to the original. We're going back home. Home is where the heart is. Heart is love. The heart is love. And so this whole concept of being a apocalypse, read what the word really means. Apocalypse. Like the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse that initiated all this understanding in the revelation of the original music and the frequencies of divinity. Apocalypse means an unveiling, an uncovering, a revealing. And revelation is all about how we're going to have restoration, not elimination. It's really, there's going to be people who are smart enough and loving enough, open-hearted enough to tune into salvation. And then there are those who are so stupid, so blocked. And, you know, again, like you look at the different states of water, it reflects what we're talking about now, the different states of humanity. There's solid, liquid, and gas. You know, fixed, frozen people that are arrogant and cold, that's ice. And then you warm it up with a little bit of love, and suddenly they start to move around obstacles. They flow, they bubble as they flow around obstacles, like rocks in the river of life. And then subsequently you heat it up with some more love, and they become etheric. They become highly spiritual or gaseous in state, in nature. So this is really reflecting everything about what we're doing and saying. And people have a choice. They can remain ice cold, fixed, arrogant idiots. And they can do themselves in. They can continue to be in dissonance and degenerate. Versus survival of the fittest. Today, the fittest is not about evolution of a species. It's about spiritual evolution. It's about a spiritual renaissance that's happening all over and within us. And that if you're going to engage that, and it's not about the new age. The new age is the old age. Right. It's not about being a good Christian. Being a good Christian is literally following what Yeshua the Messiah preached and demonstrated. It's about walking on water. It's about being the living water. And it's all about baptism. And that's what Concert for the Living Water is about. It's an attempt literally to integrate the most advanced knowledge and science, as well as metaphysics and theology, to understand each other and understand how God works, and how understand how God works through water, and understand how that's working in us, and then basically take that whole understanding and make this world the Garden of Eden that it was meant to be.
Okay, I know we don't have that much more time left that you've allocated, but I kind of did want to get into a little bit of your background and why you got into the viruses and the vaccines and that sort. Can we brush on that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, I was back in 1990 through 93, I was the chief professional trainer for the largest dental and medical catalog supply company in the world, and I was training doctors, dentists, physicians, and nurses in infection control when there was a case of a Florida dentist that infected 6 patients at least with his strain of HIV, and I solved the murder mystery, and it was suppressed. I got blacklisted, and ultimately I then went into another 3-year research into the origins of HIV/AIDS. And so that was the book called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, became a national bestseller. Reverend Jeremiah Wright referred to me on national television in the heat of the presidential campaign with Barack Obama. That's the minister of Barack Obama was Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And basically he was asked, are these statements that you've made during your sermons foolish nonsense, that you said that the AIDS virus was an Anglo-American genocidal weapon aimed at people of color? And he says, well, you got to read Dr. Leonard Horowitz's book, Emerging Viruses. So, you know, I got into this because, again, I've been simply a humble servant of the Creator, and the Creator directs me to do various things and puts me in certain places, and I was placed into this position where I would be able to reveal the United States government contracts under which these types of viruses were bioengineered by the Army's 6th top biological weapons contracting lab called Litton Bionetics. And so I published that material in the book, and that's what made Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola a bestseller, is literally I reprinted the United States government contracts so people can literally see how it was that AIDS was created and that what's happened as a result of the propaganda is we're still dealing with HIV/AIDS. You know, we haven't eliminated it, and we can easily, like OxySilver. You can totally wipe out HIV. That's one of the website links actually has that. There's a scientific study on HIV cannot withstand being bathed in OxySilver.
But for you to come back around and start trying to give the information on the vaccines, and I mean, because these guys, this culture of death that is trying to depopulate the earth, that's a reality that really is out there, and I understand where you're coming from on what we can do if we can bring that around, but at this point in time, boy, they've infiltrated just about every aspect, organization, and every avenue of our life, even mentally, in every way possible, to we're at this point of, you know, we may even be at the point of even having a shooting revolution in this country or worldwide. It's already taking place in one form or fashion around the world in numerous conflicts. So, what do you think? Do you think just by what you're talking about is going to make that much difference? What are we, you know? I want to work in both realms because I realize there's more than one way to, and there's just something that tells me that it doesn't have to be, you know, a shooting revolution. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we've got to shoot each other with love and understanding. And the only way for us to do that is we've got to treat ourselves with love and understanding. We have to understand who we really are. And the best way to do that, the quickest way to do that, is look at what 80% of your body's made of. And if you understand water, then you understand everything. Because you understand God. You understand how God works. And that's the miracle of this blessed project, Live H2O, Concert for the Living Water. And I think that you're right. I think that there is a great risk of the masses who are going to be engaged in struggle on the physical level, that they're going to pick up weapons. And that's exactly what the global industrialists want, because military armaments and war is profitable. And that whenever there's been an economic collapse, a major world economic collapse has always been the fuel for world wars. And so we stand on the brink of World War III. We stand on the brink also of a spiritual renaissance that I think humanity has got one more, as the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, one more major war with China to live through. And I think that that's what we're currently witnessing being set up on the global chessboard. And I would urge people with any common sense to do this kind of research I'm talking about, and do not pick up weapons. If you want to fight for peace and be peaceful in the process, nonviolent resistance was proven by Gandhi to be highly effective. I work with people from the Gandhi Foundation in India, and that I can tell you that there is a very solid peace movement happening worldwide right now that's largely a part of Concert for the Living Order. And I do not hold any negative view, only except for those people who are foolish enough to go along with their egoic, fear-based consciousness and engage that deception, that illusion, false evidence appearing real, fear. That is really kind of like the opposite of love. When you're in love and faith, you're not in fear and dissonance. I mentioned that earlier. And so it's really about tuning into that channel versus the alternate broadcast, which is going to be creating a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Well, one other thing that I wanted to hit upon is one of the things that I see the vaccination thing as kind of a psyop thing, and often that they infiltrate all organizations to try to split them. Do you run across any of that in your avenue?
Absolutely. I see that all the time. The vaccination, people should understand, is the number one genocidal weapon. Genocide, I don't use that term just sensationally. It is strictly defined in Webster's Dictionary as the mass killing or enslaving of people for profit, politics, and ideology. And so that's, again, end quote Webster's Dictionary. If you understand, vaccinations induce horrific intoxication. It whacks out the immune system. It gives people foreign RNA and DNA and proteins from bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryo, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues, smallpox is cow pus. And you begin to realize that what's being injected is causing all of the autoimmune diseases, all the childhood injuries, everything from chronic draining ear infections that won't quit to cancers, lymphomas, leukemias, and that when you realize the chronic fatigue has taken over so many people, everybody's tired, everybody's got to take antidepressants, everybody's got to take, the third of the population, what does that speak to civilization? A third of the developed nations now are addicted to antidepressants and various pharmaceuticals that are flowing into, out of the pee and urine, it's flowing into the ground supplies, groundwater, and polluting everything, so that literally, and this is one of the documentaries that we're showing with Live H2O, is literally, even though you may not want to be taking antibiotics or psychotropic drugs, if you're drinking your municipal water, you're actually getting intoxicated and pharmaceutically manipulated. And so this is the reality. And so it can't go on like this. We're at a breaking point, and the choice has never been more clear. There's the truth that shall set us free, And then there's, like you say, the psychological operations by which so many people are operating under the hypnosis of.
That. Yeah, but wouldn't that also be in possibility, wasn't that possibly showing up in your organization too, that you have to be awake to, because, I mean, this would be an antithesis to those that want to depopulate it, would it not?
Well, I can tell you what is happening in my organization that is challenging. I think the people that we're engaging as the leaders of Live H2O have money issues, and that they have also a certain orientation towards getting certain jobs done, stages built, lighting, musicians online, organizing the schedules, that when one leader who has positive loving intention meets another one that has a different view, then conflicts do arise. And I think the number one concern has been money. There's a lot of money that's being said to be the excuse, or lacking of money is being an excuse used. Now, I can tell you honestly that I've witnessed this whole thing come about from virtually nothing, from an idea, from a seed in my heart, to my friends' hearts, that we can agree that this is a fabulous idea. And we've witnessed little miracles and big miracles alike happening as this project evolves. And the issue is that for those leaders of Live H2O, they've got to serve as models for the living water. They've got to, in essence, do what Jesus said. He says there will be a time that comes that you will do more than what I've done. There will be a time that comes, he said, you'll be on the planet, but no longer of it. And this is that time where we're on this planet physically, but we're not really engaging it because it's so insane. We're in love. We are wanting, envisioning, and moving towards actualizing peace on earth, world health, and prosperity in all ways, feeding everybody with a loaf of bread, creating miracles, using the miracle science, musical sound, frequency, 528, love, to produce the miracles for sustainability. All of this is what a leader in this evolution in human consciousness, this revolution back to the Garden of Eden, virtually, the divine communion, that this is what's now challenging for the leaders. And the dissonance that I'm witnessing is simply a test that they've got to look at themselves. They've got to see their own ego attachments, and they've got to then purge themselves and prepare themselves for purification that's going to occur because of the sonic vibration that we're going to put into the water on June the 21st, 2009. Because when that happens, when we really sing as the heart of humanity, the love of humanity shall be put into the water as prophesied, then that's going to initiate 42 months. This is now Revelation 13:5. It's going to...
So that date was picked on purpose? Does that have
Yeah, actually, no. I didn't know the date. I didn't set the date. It was set by two sisters in Hawaii who just came to me and said, Len, it's going to be June 19th or the 21st. And I said, okay. And then about 3 weeks ago, I was in Toronto, and I had a messenger from God come to the seminar I was giving called a Love Code Seminar, Musical Healing Celebration. And he said, you know, I did some research. The entire chapter 13 of the book of Revelation is exactly what you're dealing with. It's about ousting the beast from the water. And he says, you know, you got to look at Revelation 13:5, and it talks about a 42-month period where as the beast is ousted out of the water, then, you know, really the problems on the planet are going to heat up, and there's going to be a lot of destruction and a lot of death. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. And this purging, the apocalypse, is a revealing and a ultimately evolution into full love and sustainability. And he said, I counted back from the day that the Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012, 42 months back from there, is precisely June 21st, 2009.
And why did they pick 42 months? I guess I lost that part of why 42. Did I?
Yeah, well, that's in the book of Revelation. It's
okay.
Chapter 13, verse 5 of the book of Revelation says, when that beast comes out, and that's what we're doing. See, the beast coming out of the water, that's what we're saying. That's exactly what Live H2O is doing. It's we're acknowledging that God has been polluted, or what we think of God has been polluted. What we, our own bodies have been polluted. The water in our bodies and on our planet has all been polluted. The concept that we're, instead of in this divine purity, where baptism is about that Holy Spirit flowing through the water into the human body. Jesus went to John the Baptist. That's why we're planning a global baptism. That's what Concert for the Living Water is all about. It's literally to impart love into the water, divine, unconditional love. There's nothing more powerful in the universe in terms of being a healer and a sustainer than divine, unconditional love. And that's the intention, to sing together those who have gotten it, who have awakened to the reality that we come together now in what has been declared the end times, to produce a beginning times, a new beginning, and that between the time that we sing on June 21st, 2009, to the day that the Mayan calendar ends, when we're going to have a new world, and it's not a new world order in the sense that the corporate industrialists have decided, it is the new world order that the Creator wants, peace on earth, sustainability, loving between people, and that's what humanity shall be blessed with eventually. We're engaged in the preparation for that. We're making the provisions for this concert. And when we sing, if people are not prepared, if their hearts are closed, God help them.
Okay, so I guess, and yeah, because it's in closing of what time we've allotted here, do we still try to get people aware of the vaccinations and the things that are going on around us, while at the same time trying to prepare for dealing with the fluids and putting love out there through them so that it all changes? Is that?
You know, as a holistic person and a holistic thinker, I certainly would not want to neglect the principal genocidal weapon. I would not want to neglect the possibility that I could save thousands and thousands of lives. So to that extent, I still am asked frequently and respond consistently to requests for information on vaccinations. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be tonight on Mayor Eisenstein's webinar. This beautiful doctor has 20,000 families in his pediatric practice, and not one single case of autism, because he tells every parent, don't get vaccinated with anything. Now, you think about that. The fact is that autism now, the national rates, is 1 in 65 families. Some say 1 in 100, 150, but now it's the new rate is 1 in 65 have autistic children. And Dr. Eisenstein has 20,000 families. He's been a old-time practitioner of this understanding that vaccines are hideously toxic, and he's refused to vaccinate his infants when he delivers them. And as a result, he has not one case. Now, that man and his clinical data should be heralded by every newspaper worldwide, and it's not. What does that tell you? It tells you that there's huge suppression and intoxication going on for profit. That is genocide. And so that's what's taking place today. We've got to wake up to that. And I think whatever we can do to make people aware of that is a blessing and potentially life-saving. And that I can tell you that my ministry deals with the worst of the worst news on the planet. And that is the central aspect of it. The worst of the worst news is about we're dealing with a genocidal manipulation of the population. And the best of the best news my ministry also deals with is how do we get ourselves out of this mess? And that is, again, we look at water. We look at what is the message in water. We look at how can we deliver this message in water to humanity. And that's what I'm doing.
So in other words, you're saying, you know, you got to look at the, you know, the realities about out there, and sometimes it's a pretty ugly reality. In fact, it's a real ugly reality, but at the same time, taking that information and realizing that, you know, you can, it doesn't have to be that way, and we can do something good with it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you don't judge a book by its cover. You know, you look at a lot of people out there that maybe some people would consider ugly, and then you make that judgment, value judgment, and then maybe you get stuck in an elevator with them, and then you start to talk with them, and suddenly you realize there's a beautiful human being there that you didn't really realize when you first judged them. And so there's always, when you start to dig underneath of the ugliness, there is great beauty. And just like now, where there's hideous ugliness and genocide taking lives and causing suffering of humanity, underneath of that, if we look at that as an opportunity to say, okay, what's wrong? How can we rectify it? And let's move as quickly as possible in that direction. I think that that is really what life is about.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on my radio program and enlightening us to what the upcoming event that you're, again, that what is the website you have for that and the date again?
Yes, it's Concert for the Living Water, and the website is www.liveh2o. Make sure you put in a no, not a zero, because a zero will take you nowhere. Liveh2o.org. And the dates are June 19th to the 21st. The 19th is all about edutainment, educating ourselves about how magnificent water is and how it works in all ways to solve the pollutions and problems all over the world that we have today. Saturday is about the most conscious musicians worldwide are joining us. We've got Grammy Award winners included that are retuning their instruments to 528 frequency love. We're going to be singing with them, enjoying, dancing with them, praying with them. And then Sunday is the most important day. Yeah, education is important and music is totally great, but the most important day that we need everybody to attend. And it doesn't matter whether you're home or alone, you can still work with us. You'll be able to produce your own program on the internet at that website, liveh2o.org. And it's the prayer that begins at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 o'clock East Coast time on Sunday, June 21st, 2009. That's when we need you for 9 minutes, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific, to lend your heart in devout prayer to the living God in us and in the water and all around us, that we uplift ourselves and basically expand so that we can achieve the goals of world peace, universal health in a real sense, and this concept that nothing is not achievable. Everything is possible, and that's what we think. We can feed the world. We can solve all the problems of dehydration and starvation with positive human intention. So putting that intention into the water, which is a liquid crystal superconductor, again, that's going to cause all the waters to resonate with this positive affirmation and prayer. And that, as a result, people are going to feel it. Who are sensitive, people are going to experience it, even if they're not sensitive, because their bodies are made of water, and when you start to resonate the oceans, because that's where we're going to be putting the signal actually into the waters, then essentially what's going to happen is that people are going to have an open-hearted expansion, and that's the goal. So thanks so much for this opportunity.
And thank you.